The first test match between Australia and England was played in Melbourne in 1877.
One of our enthusiasms is a game, this game called cricket.
In 1882, after the first win by Australia at the Oval in England, it's been known as the Ashes. The Poms and the Aussies have been trading blows with willow and leather ever since. Now, Ashes-winning legends Matthew Hayden and Mark Junior Waugh have teamed up with English spin sensation Graham Swanee Swan to bring you their views, their opinions, and show off their many other talents while Australia tours England. This is Willow Talk with Haydos, Junior and Swanee.
Mark Junior Waugh, Graham Swan in the UK, Matthew Hayden. It is Willow Talk. My name is Byron Cook. And guys, what a week it's been after last week's Willow Talk. You might recall Graham Swan mysteriously left the studio for a brief moment, and
yes, he did.
Kevin Peterson joined us. Let's have a listen.
How's it, chaps? I'm so happy to be here with you right now. I look great at the moment. I've got new tattoos, and they're shining beautifully in the sunshine. I feel awesome. Actually, Matt Hayden, not a lot of people know this, but he called me Fig Jam, and it was the nicest nickname because what it means is, flip, I'm good. Just ask Matty.
Paid off the reaction. It's been quite extraordinary over the last week.
Well, it's gone global, man. That's the key, isn't it? Gee, it's just, I mean, haters, they all continue to hate.
Wow.
Wow, Bangladesh has been on fire with different reactions. As for South Africa, well, it's been a week of shark attacks, but boy, gee, haven't they gone to town on it?
Where do we start, Swanee, Junior? I mean, there were a number of tweets. It was reported on Daily Mail all over the world in various tabloids. And, I mean, the feedback here, a lot of it's positive, to be honest, for Swanee.
I think those in the cricketing world think it's great. It's just dressing room banter or whatever. Those who follow Piers Morgan on Twitter are a bit disappointed. Old Toenails Morgan, they're a bit disappointed with it, but there we go.
Look, in the interest of being fair and balanced, though, I've got a selection of tweets here. And look, a couple of them weren't exactly...
What about Janie from London? Swanee isn't exactly in a position where he can lecture anybody about oversize of their ego. That's a tough one, Swanee. You haven't got a big ego.
If you could have read it properly, it would have been even tougher.
You could have bumbled his way through it.
I think
you
want to
try that again?
The suggestion is you have a giant ego, Swanee, from Janie in London.
Well, Janie obviously doesn't move in my circle, so I can't comment on it.
What about Beefy Heathy?
Oh, what's Beefy Heathy said? Here we go. Brilliant interviewers. For all the negative comments about Swan, get over yourselves. He's having a laugh at someone who has a massively overinflated ego, who cares nothing about the team and is only interested in promoting himself.
Gee, that's harsh. That's a very harsh view from Worcester.
You know, it was only meant as a bit of fun, but if people are prepared to get that angry about it, he's like Marmite character in England. I mean, people either love him or absolutely loathe him. And so, you know, you've got to decide whether you like Marmite on your toast at breakfast or not.
It is a woeful drop, though, isn't it?
It's bad as Vegemite, isn't it?
Yeah. Guys, woeful drop. As far as this week is concerned, lots coming up. We will attempt to stump Junior shortly,
No chance, Cookie.
Well,
no chance.
He's improved slightly, but his cricket trivia knowledge is still...
He was good last week.
I'm averaging three or four a week.
Adequate.
On my ear.
We'll get to that soon.
Easy.
Up next, one of the legends of the game. This is fantastic. Pretty sure Haydos organised this. I know Junior wouldn't have. He hasn't done a lot of work in the...
it's not my job.
Typical middle.
Haydos is getting the big bucks. I'm just here on work experience.
He's the interior decorator. Don't forget that.
Glenn McGrath. This would be great. He's joining us right after this on Willow Talk. This is Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Graham Swan and Matthew Hayden. Our next guest holds the world record for the highest number of test wickets by a fast bowler. He is fourth on the all-time list. And as of January 2015, his foundation has placed 102 McGrath breast care nurses around Australia. Incredible work, and have helped support more than 33,000 Aussie families. A great Australian. He's on the line. Glenn McGrath, guys.
Pidgey, how you going, mate?
G'day, guys. How you going?
Mate, 2005. I just want to take us back there because you're outstanding in the first test match, Lords. You took 9 wickets. You just carved a sway through the Pomming batting lineup. But then, you dozy bugger, you decide to come out half an hour early before the play. You're mucking around with a ball from Hads, and you trip over a cricket ball, and you cost us the Ashes, mate. What was going on?
I wouldn't go quite that far, but I haven't heard that since I've been here. I think every second person comes up, and kids have been at Edgebath and everyone's rolling balls out in front of me, including Graham Swan. So it's just
guilty.
One of those things. I blame the coach 100%. You know, I was. We got to the ground so early because normally I stuff around the change rooms. By the time I get out in the ground for warm ups, we're ready to go and off we go. But this morning,
We got to the ground so early, stuffed around, got out on the ground. We still had half an hour to go before we start our warm-up. So just standing there, a bit bored. You know, you don't want to really talk to the batsmen because they're a boring bunch anyway. But
No worries.
Just, no, I just picked up a footy, just a rugby league ball, and and I just passing it back and forth. And for some reason, he rates himself as a leaguey, and he threw this horrendous pass that bounced halfway to get it past me. And I just turned to run and pick the ball up and didn't see the ball, all the balls lined out to warm our shoulders up, and just must have put my foot on one, and down I went. And, I can remember it very clearly, lying on the deck, trying to sort of work out how I could reverse what had happened. Laid there for, felt like, a couple of minutes, and then I thought, I'll look up and see my teammates racing over. And when I looked up, Dustus, hey, that's you, and no one had moved. So I'm laid back down, trying to go through how I could reverse what had happened again. After a few more minutes, I look up again thinking, yeah, they've got to see me now rolling around the ground.
Oh, well, I remember your face, still, Pidge. I remember your face. It was absolutely grey. I've never seen anyone like that. Seriously, it was sickening. We did care, Pidge. Yeah, we did care.
They didn't care. They're just batsmen. They're that self-involved. They're going, oh, mate, Pidge is screwed, but give me a few throwdowns, mate. Oh, sweet airs, Haydos. Hitting it well.
Well, boys, I reckon it's karma because Pidgeon was the absolute clown in the team. He used to throw things at other people. You know,
he was annoying,
So that was just karma that something actually happened to him. But, Pidge, it's Junior here, mate. I don't want to talk about your bowling or tripping over balls or throwing peanuts at everybody. I want to talk about your batting. Because you were a strange creature with the bat. You used to blow up every time you got out like you expected to get 100. But you could play shots no one else could play. You could hit Murali through the covers when he was spinning at 8 foot from off the leg, and you just smoke him through the covers. Tell me about your batting. You're underachieved, didn't you, really?
Well, June, you know, you had a bet with Warnie, didn't you, that I'd never get a first class 50. But
yeah, I don't know how you did.
I think my problem with my batting...
I had too many
shots in my mind to play, but I didn't have coaching till I was 22, so my technique, I've got no technique whatsoever, and I used to blow up when I'd come in, because, you know, I expect a little bit more of myself, and it's probably more the way I got out. Poor shot, fired again by the umpire, clearly not out, or just embarrassed
motorway
myself
decision.
Again.
What age did you get your first proper bat? When did you have your first own bat?
I grew up on the farm out Narromine Way, and I remember... I looked in the catalogue of the Greg Chappell Centre and saw a big SS jumbo, and I thought, that's the one. So I ordered that, and it came in the mailbox down the front, and that was my first bat.
Oh, wow. Now, guys, we want Glenn, if you've got a bit of time, mate, I know you and Swanee are doing a lot of work together in the UK at the moment. Have you got a couple of minutes if we play a song and come back? Is that all right, mate?
All good, mate.
Glenn McGrath's going to hang around, a legend of the game. Glenn McGrath on Willow Talk. Glenn McGrath is our guest. You're listening to Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden and Graham Swan. Fantastic to have Glenn on the line. And Swanee, you're obviously on tour. You're following every test match.
He's on tour.
Well, he's checking in.
I kind of live here, but, you know.
He's following every match, and we broadcast from various studios. It's Edgbaston at the moment.
Kentucky.
It's like a Kentucky tour. It's a giant roar.
him and Rhino and now Pidge.
But Glenn McGrath is
funny. They're all bowlers.
This guest of ours, Swanee, Glenn McGrath, he's on the gravy train as well. What's going on?
Well, he is. I'll tell you what, I never realised, because as someone who never played test cricket against Glenn McGrath, I always saw this big, angry, fast bowler. I didn't realise he was such a funny bloke and a good storyteller. But he tells his brilliant story. You're gonna have to tell it now, because I had no idea you came so close to a test century at Edgbaston until a certain keeper let you down, Pidge.
it's normally the way that the days you hit them well, the guy at the other end gets out on you, and batting number 11 is a tough spot to bat. And I got plenty of guys to their hundreds, even got one guy in Tugger to his 200, but very rarely did they hang around with me, and it was 2001. 10th wicket batting with Adam Gilchrist. We put on 66 and got him to his 100. I just started to hit him really well, and he got out on me. So I remember walking off and looking up at the scoreboard. And like I said, we put on 66. Look up the scoreboard. Adam Gilchrist, 152. Glenn McGrath, one not out. So another 50 missed in the bud there. Really.
Well, that would have been a riveting one too, McGrath. Massive leading edge over the top of Gully on tipping.
No, it was just I tried to work it through mid-wicket and just a single down a third man.
If you don't know where it's going, how does the opposition captain know where to put the fielders? It's genius batting that.
Well, I tell you, McGrath, you know, you got memories of people when you see him for the first time. I know when I saw Mark Waugh, he had the beautiful moulet. It was freshly brilled cream and Swanee in the Northampton change rooms, you know, done up in his beautiful attire, suit and tie when I was introduced to the team, looking immaculate. The first time I saw you, Pidge, was actually at the Gabba. New South Wales played Queensland. And if you remember back, what was the very first thing that Alan Border, who was a very, very grumpy coach at the time, what was the very first thing that he actually said to you, Pidge?
Yeah, no, it was the first time I'd ever come across sledging, really, in a game, and AB really fired up. But he kept asking me when the floods were coming. So I wasn't quite sure what he was talking about. But my pants were like 3 or 4 inches too short for me. So
that's right.
He was wondering when the floods were coming.
Did you give it back to him, Pidge? Did you have a go back at him?
No, I didn't say a single word. And you know, then he changed tune. He said, I know you can stare, but can you speak? And I didn't say a single word back then. But he taught me what having a bit of chat on the field was all about.
What about your first nickname, Pigeon? Was it Millard after the caravan, a brand of caravan? Was that right?
The narrow mind Nuffy, I think it was, wasn't it?
No, I think it was Millard, wasn't it? Are you there, Pidge?
He's dropped out.
Has he conveniently dropped
out? You've got rid of him.
You're kidding.
He doesn't like you like the rest of Australia.
What's Millard? Fill in the blanks for the non-players.
Oh, Millard Caravan. That's where he lived in a caravan when he first came to Sydney.
Well,
there you go.
Well, we'll see if we can re-establish connection. Otherwise,
Nuffy.
It's a rags to riches tale. It's brilliant.
It's fantastic. Millard. Let's see if we can get him back otherwise.
Boyks, what would Boyks say, do you reckon?
He likes Glenn McGrath. Boycott. He bought that corridor of uncertainty outside the obstacle. I like McGrath. And he's bigger than me too. I've got to commentate with him now. He's massive. I like him.
I love when Jeffrey joins us. Glenn McGrath, of course, doing great work with the McGrath Foundation as well. You've got day three of the Sydney Test, the Jane McGrath Day. Always a massive
huge
day.
Get the pink on, Cookie. Get your pink strides on.
I normally wear pink. It's Kanye West colour.
The blue one.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, that's it. Glenn McGrath joined us. It was sensational. And you're listening to Willow Talk with Haydos, Junior and Swanee. Graham Swan has his questions ready. You are listening to Willow Talk with Swanee, Matthew Hayden and Mark Waugh. Okay, it's Stump Junior. This is the segment where Swanee asks Mark Waugh some cricket trivia questions. Haydos just generally has a bit of a crack throughout the segment.
Yeah, he's just chirping away.
General heckler.
Junior tries to get a good score, something high-ish out of five he will attempt to score today. Swanee, question one.
What I've done this week is I've got two general cricket questions that I think everyone will get, and then three that you should definitely get, Junior Waugh, but I don't think anyone else will. So anyway, we'll start off. Which bowler achieved a hat-trick on the opening day at the SCG in the 98-99 Ashes series?
Well, I will get this one, mainly because I got 100 that day, Cookie. So ring the bell.
There it is.
That's only his ninth reference in the last 4 weeks to him scoring 100.
And then we absolutely collapsed in the late afternoon sunshine at the SCG. Darren Goff was the bowler, and I reckon I can even get the hat-trick. The three players.
Wow.
I reckon it was
McGill. Wasn't part of the question, but go for yours.
I reckon McGill.
Yes.
I reckon Miller.
Yes.
And I reckon Heels, possibly.
Oh. That's spot on, I think.
Oh, beautiful.
Well done.
Do I get a bonus point for that?
No one's
done. Darren Goff. He took the second new ball, too, and started to
just everyone. Everyone thinks you're a bit of a knob for being a big head.
I'll tell you, the answer to this is definitely not Matthew Hayden. Name one Aussie and one English player who have played against each other in an Ashes series and have both had their hair replaced strand by strand by advanced hair. Yeah, yeah.
Well, maybe Haydos could do with a bit of yeah, yeah.
Well, but, I could. There's no grass on my wicket.
Actually, I'm starting to thin a bit too, Haydos. I'm starting to lose a bit of grass off the track as well.
Hence the bad hat.
Okay, so players who played against each other who've lost their lid and they've replaced it with... a bit of grass on top.
It's got to be in an Ashes series, though.
Ashes series. Well, let's think of England and Australia players who have had hair transplants or hair replacements.
He's one famous, so you should get that straight off. You used to play with him as well.
Well, Shane Warne is the obvious, isn't it?
Right, lock that in.
Well, actually, you played with both of them. There
so
you go.
I'm going to lock that in. And then you've got guys like Michael Vaughan.
Yeah,
from England, Ricky.
Dancing with the two
punters. Has Punter owned up to?
I don't know. Punter's definitely got a lid. Yeah, he has now.
What about Dougie Bollinger?
The question wasn't just go through cricketers who might be bald.
Oh, okay. Absolutely the funniest
thing. Anyway, we've done the Australian one.
No, absolutely funniest thing I've ever seen on a cricket field by a mile. Dougie Bollinger in India. And we're playing for the Chennai Super Kings. It is 1,000,000 degrees in Chennai. And little Suresh Raina innocently goes up to slap Dougie Bollinger on the top of the back. And his lid is actually melted off. It's gone to the north. And it's left Dougie Bollinger scrambling for his lid to try and make the adjustment before he had to be whisked off the dressing room.
So you can only wear it in cool conditions, can you?
Okay.
I must.
Anyway, the other player. One's got to be Graham Gooch.
Correct.
Oh, beautiful.
I play with Gooch.
Well done.
His rug's good, actually. I like Gucci's.
And Graham Gooch. Swanee, now these are the questions you don't think Mark Waugh could possibly get wrong, these next three. Go for it.
Yeah, I've got three questions now. They're all to do with Mark Waugh. So, Junior, you should get these, but, you know, we've gone a bit mastermind on you, made them tricky. So, Mark, you made your test debut in the 1990-91 fourth Ashes test in Adelaide.
That's right.
Where you scored a
100. Replaced my brother, actually, Steve.
Number 10.
The question is, how many boundaries did you hit in your 138?
You got no hope for that.
How am I going to get that? Fair
no
income.
Hope. Just give up.
Well, I did score a rate of knots in that inning. So probably quite a large percentage of boundaries in that 138.
Yes.
I can tell you it was 188 balls, the whole knock, so it was
that's a good strike rate, isn't it, back in those, and full-size boundaries as well, actually, that I had to hit over the fence.
I did it 53 yards square.
No, I don't know. I'd say somewhere around 15.
Got him, yes.
It's pretty close, but it's not the one. 18.
Okay.
18. Even better than you thought.
No sixes.
Well, there was a couple of one bounce. There were a couple of one bounces off Tuffers straight down the green.
You used to lick your choppers with Tuffers, didn't you?
Pin the ears back.
Used to like him, didn't you?
Tuffers.
My question four. In the same knock, and I remember this, so you should get it. What stroke did you play to get off the mark?
Well, the first ball actually was a short one from Daffy DeFreitas down the leg, so I nearly brushed my glove, I didn't get off the mark with that one, but I just punched him down the ground for a three.
Correct. Oh,
there we go.
Just mid on, straight mid on.
Oh, beautiful.
Can't sledge that. He was in the V.
Ooh, yeah. Play straight early, Haydos and Swanee.
You'll either definitely know this or definitely not. What score were Australia on when you came to the crease?
Four out, obviously, because I batted at number six. Greg Matthews batted at number seven. He reckons he carried me that whole innings, but he...
What did he get?
Oh, I don't know. He nearly ran me out about 48 times. I don't know, Swanee. I've got to be honest. It's four for something around the 100 mark, but let's say 98.
Got him, yes.
Oh, it's very close, actually. It's four for 104.
Four for 104. So he's not cheating, because he surely would have got them all right if he's cheating.
Exactly. Or he's boxing clever.
Oh, okay. There, some junior is back this time next week. He'll need to improve on that.
Oh, you kidding, Cookie?
Willow Talk. On Willow Talk, it's time for Tell Me Something We Didn't Know. Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden and Graham Swan share stories with us.
And I think I won it, Cookie, last week.
You were
I can't remember what the story was,
deep,
but I won it.
It was personal.
I think it was about your brother in the car, wasn't it? Sharing a car.
Oh, running out of petrol.
We're told it was about Bob Simpson.
Yeah, it was.
That's right, oversleeping in Tasmania.
With great. Tubby.
Oh, yes. You're
on the gas.
Yes.
Well, it left a real impression on everybody here.
Swanee's good at doing that, getting to the ground late too.
Anyway, the way the segment works is you three share a deep story with us where we go, oh my God, as cricket fans, we would never have known that. And Swanee, you go first, mate, today.
Mine's got a bit of a Hayden punchline, as in none at all this week. But 2005, the most famous English test victory. The game we've already spoken about today with Glenn McGrath falling over in his ankle, which, by the way, for a nation's greatest cricketing achievement is to nobble the opposition's fast bowler, says a lot about our cricket at the time. But anyway, even though I was nowhere near playing for the England squad then, because Duncan Fletcher would have picked a trained chimp rather than me to bowl spin, I was actually 12th man for that game. So I turned up and I had to... go and skivvy the drinks around and everything. But on the first morning, bearing in mind Duncan Fletcher had dropped me after the 99-2000 tour to South Africa and rumoured to say, I will never have that man in my cricket team. He is an effing joke.
Oh,
So I turned up on the first morning to be 12th man. His face, when he walked in the changing room to see me there, was an absolute picture. He just sort of, this withered look, shook his head. And anyway, we went out to warm up, and I got injured in the warm-up. I pulled a back muscle. rather than take drinks out and just carry them around all day, I was just lying face down on a bed watching the greatest test match England have ever played unfold in front of my eyes for 3 days with my top off and Duncan Fletcher, you know, breathing fire down my neck every 2 minutes. That is my Matt Hayden rubbish punchline story of the week.
That's solid.
That's got a good punchline, I reckon.
Don't undersell it. It's, you know, we're not in a comedy club here.
You have me and Haydos covered, I reckon.
All right, yeah. Haydos, you go next and tell me something we didn't know. What won't we know about
you?
You
get a punchline here today.
Okay, well same vent. Yeah, okay. Try me best. Sorry, Drew. Same venue, and Edgbaston, obviously, what we're talking about. I was involved in a couple of controversial incidences at that ground. The first one, Simon Jones, which he threw the ball at me in a one-day game, went down like a bag of proverbial, got up. It was all that sort of razzle-dazzle between us. He actually didn't mean to do it, but I was fired
up. You would have puffed your chest out.
Yeah,
homeless.
No, I was angry. I always blew up about that sort of stuff because, mate, the stumps are there. Clearly, he doesn't have to throw the ball at me. You can't say that a trained
fast
bowler.
I would if I was playing against you, though. I would throw it at you.
He's got 20 metres. He's not that bad a throw. Anyway, so that was the first incident, and that sort of got the attention. And so I was getting called at that stage, as you know, Swanee, Buzz Lightyear, and I wasn't the most popular person in the press or anywhere. So the knives were out. Come the match, we walked through the flags like they do, and they sing that beautiful song. How does that go, Graham, when you're coming onto the ground?
And did those feet in ancient time.
That one, yep.
Walk up on England's mountains green.
You've got the beautiful setting here. You've got kids on both sides. You've got sponsors there holding English flags. You've got Australian flags down the other side. But at that stage, I'm in the zone, so I decide to actually run outside that zone and take off into the middle. So what had happened without me knowing was that I'd woken up in the morning, the next morning, to my mum ringing me. And this is the part that you don't know. Everything I've said sort of pretty much so far has been reported in the press about me at that point slandering young children carrying these flags. Apparently I was telling them to, you know, get this and get that. So worse than that, you can imagine. My mum rings me and says, "Matty, tell me this is not true." And I said, "What are you talking about, Mum?" He says, "Well, it's reported here that you've told some of these kids to go get, you know, whatever." I said, are you for real? Like, and this is what happens over here, right? Like, the English press, we follow their press, and it's reported in our media as well. So I'm saying to Mum, "Look, Mum, there's no chance of me doing that. I've got kids. There's no way that I'm going to do that." So that's my story. Yeah. Claiming innocence, not swearing at the kids, and obviously there's my punchline. Yeah, Once again.
I believe that. You swear enough at the opposition players to not worry about the kids on the outfield.
Sure.
As I said, I was at that game and I saw the three kids who he told it to come off the field crying their eyes out.
Junior, what have you got?
I thought Swanee was going to do two stories then. No, it's my story is 1997. I'm going to Leeds again, Headingley. Now, we won that test match at Headingley, and as you do, you have a few drinks, but at that particular game, the Canberra Raiders were in town in Leeds playing in the Super League.
Oh,
so
boy.
Oh, yeah.
They all came to the test match. They ended up in the dressing room after the game, and, you know, you could imagine what was going on there. But we went back to the Crown Plaza in Leeds, and we ended up in the hotel bar. The rugby league boys tend to get a bit rowdier than the cricketers.
They're physical, aren't they?
Yeah. We ended up playing a few silly games, and one of the silly games was Mal Meninga. The big unit, Mal Meninga. Now, he is hard to tackle, isn't he?
Oh,
anyway, we had a pretend try line in the bar. And there was five cricketers lined up, and we had to stop Mal Meninga from scoring, getting over that line. And he just charged into us and knocked five of us like 10-pin bowling.
Big hit up from Mal. What was the defensive line? Who was in it?
Myself, Tugger, I think. Useless.
Very,
we're both useless.
Very weak.
We need a bit of power there, but he just knocked all of us over. So very silly shenanigans going on.
Well, guys, as much
win.
As I
did,
I
you
hate...
have anyone commentating on it in the bar? Tell me there was someone.
I wish you were there, Swanee.
Oh, look out! Here we go.
Big Mal Meninga.
He's blown him away.
He flies into Lewis. Lewis.
Okay. Now, as much as I hate to do this, Matt, I'm sorry. Graham, I'm sorry, but as the judge over here, Byron, I'm sorry, but it's two in a row for Junior.
Yeah. Good Junior. Big Mal Meninga.
He's
hard to stop.
He's such a bad winner, isn't he? Anyway, well done. You've won again. Congratulations.
I want to win something.
Yeah, there you go. There's my almonds and half a banana. Well done.
Oh, geez, there's a banana too.
What is coming up next on Willow Talk? You ask, Justin Langer is our special guest. Not too
far away. Haydos' boyfriend.
Gee, he made a lot of runs with Haydos as our opening partnership. Lots of Ashes moments, I'm sure, will be shared with Justin Langer. He joins us soon on Willow Talk.
The first test match between Australia and England was played in Melbourne in 1877.
One of our enthusiasms is a game, this game called cricket.
In 1882, after the first win by Australia at the Oval in England, it's been known as the Ashes. The Poms and the Aussies have been trading blows with Willow and Leather ever since. Now, Ashes-winning legends Matthew Hayden and Mark Junior Waugh have teamed up with English spin sensation Graham Swanee Swan to bring you their views, their opinions, and show off their many other talents while Australia tours England. This is Willow Talk with Haydos, Junior and Swanee.
Coming up this hour on Willow Talk, Swanee's wrong, and this is where our very own Graham Swan impersonates other cricketing personalities.
He's good. He's too good.
He's good?
Jeez. Yeah. He's too good.
We had a special guest star, Kevin Peterson, on the show last week. That was extraordinary. But who will he be this week?
So good.
We will find out. And coming up next, a guy that played plenty of test cricket in the opening slot with our very own Matthew Hayden. Justin Langer is on the phone next, boys.
Oh, go the little fella.
It's Willow Talk with Haydos, Junior and Swanee. You're listening to Willow Talk, Mark Junior Waugh, Graham Swan in the UK and Matthew Hayden. Our next guest, well, gee, spent a bit of time with Haydos. He opened for Australia in more than 100 test innings with Matthew Hayden. The pair of them, 5,654 runs while batting together in partnerships. That's extraordinary. Only Greenwich and Haynes of the Windies scored more test runs as a partnership than these two. We have Justin Langer on the line, boys.
Hey, little buddy.
Gentlemen. Alfie.
Hey, buddy. Hey, Junior. How you going, boys?
Hey,
Hey, P or Swanee? I'm not sure which one it is. Last week, that was gold.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because you know, G-Man can be quite a annoying little individual. He's got the teethy grin and he's, you know, got all the words and the whole works. Now, I'm led to believe that he's making a bit of a comeback in your book here because you thought he was a bit of a wanker, didn't you, old Graham?
Oh, G-Man, I think G-Man's the sort of bloke you'd love having in your team but you hate playing against because he does carry like a bit of a knob sometimes, young fella, but I'd love to have him in my team. I reckon it's like you'd love to be your teammate and probably not your opponent. So, yeah, it's good to see we're all retired and all friends now.
Correct.
So, Alfie, would you have KP in the Perth Scorchers, mate? You'd like to get KP for the Scorchers?
No.
So he admires Graham Swan as a competitor and also his impersonation skills of Kevin Peterson he rates very highly. Well, that's a positive start to the interview, boys.
I'm very happy with that.
Swanee, you made a lot of Australians very happy and probably a lot of English, but certainly Straussie. You would have made Straussie very happy with that, I thought. But you made a lot of Australians and got some good giggles out of that. Brilliant.
This week, Alfie, we're going to climb into Junior here. I mean, he'll deflect away from the selection, the whole works, and that's all fair enough. But, I mean, you've sung the team song, you know, so that's a pretty significant role. I didn't sing the same team song. Junior didn't sing the team song. You did. And that's been passed down historically. I'm led to believe the first singer of that was the chairman of selectors, Rod Marsh, correct? He was the bloke that first sung it.
Actually, Alan Border. Alan Border was, but never sang it because they never won in those days.
Right.
And then it was passed down to Rod Marsh, who passed it to David Boone, to Ian Healy, to Ricky Ponting, to myself, and then Mike Hussey when I retired.
So my question, Alfie, how important is culture to a cricket team and how important is this decision to actually have Hads now out of the side because the reality of it is he is a cement to that particular side. 66 test matches. He's played a lot of test match cricket. He's actually, you know, right amongst it as one of the leading players in the side. What do you think that culturally does to the cricket team?
Yeah, look, I was surprised. Sorry, Gene. I was a bit surprised.
That's all right, mate. I'm not over there. You can't blame me.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, we'll blame someone else. That's usually what selectors do. But only one of three votes. Yeah, I get that. Well, I'm a selector now.
Four votes, actually. There's four selectors.
One of four votes, yeah. But I must admit, I was surprised, Hads. I think he's, particularly over the last few years, he's been such a leader within that group. He's vice-captain. The boys really admire him. So I was surprised, and I also felt leading into the series that our biggest advantage was our experience over England. Now I think it's a bit more of an even playing field, with Mitch Marsh and Peter Neville in there in the middle order. So, yeah, I think it's a bit more even now.
Alfie, I want to talk about – I'm going to deflect that selection business. I want to talk about you as a coach, Alfie. Now, what is more stressful, playing or coaching, and why?
I think coaching's a lot harder because in the sense that you have to look after so many people, and you spend – the fact is now as a head coach, you do very little coaching. It's all about managing people, whether it's your players or your staff. So, and there's a lot of stakeholders involved, but when you're playing, you're obviously looking after your teammates and want to be part of the team, which is which we all love. But you're looking after your role in the team, really. So they're very different. If you ask me the question, which I'd rather do, you can never, ever replace playing. I think playing was... I loved playing. Whilst I'm enjoying being a coach, it's very, very hard to replicate those great experiences as a player.
Now, Justin, if you've got time, mate, we've got a song or two to play, but we want to come back and chat to you a little bit more if you can hang about. Is that cool?
Can you get Kay San and Johnny Williamson through?
Sounds like tug of war there, Johnny Williamson.
We will come back shortly with Justin Langer. You're listening to Willow Talk with Junior, Haydos and Swanee. You're listening to Willow Talk, Haydos, Junior and Swanee. Byron over here, the anchor of the show. And guys, Justin Langer, our special guest, who played so much cricket opening the batting with Matthew Hayden.
Superstar.
And so good to have him on. You know, Justin, obviously you are one of the very few cricketers that's had a song specifically written for you. Are you aware of what we're about to play?
No, this will be good.
It's from a Melbourne rock band, Telemachus Brown. And they wrote a song about Justin Langer, and it's called Wrong About Justin Langer. Let's have a listen.
I have never heard that.
What about Kerry O'Keefe? One day early in my career, Kerry O'Keefe wrote, it was a big headline, I'd rather watch green bananas go brown than watch Justin Langer bat. he was wrong about Justin Langer because he came and he apologised to me every time I've seen him to this day. So he might have actually wrote the song for them.
Well Alfie, I mean, I know you've always been a little concerned at press conferences when they've said, oh, look, you know, you're the dour player and Haydos, you're the dominator. But I just want to take our minds back to a time that I went back into your house for a barbecue, which we used to do pretty much every time. I used to send Sue over the shopping list. But I want you to share with our guests across Australia what your favourite piece of memorabilia is up in your pool room, so to speak. What is that? Tell us about that.
The thing is, the whole joke about our partnership, everyone thought Haydos was the aggressor, Haydos was the tough one, or was sort of the big gladiator. Truth of the matter is, I always took the first ball because Haydos was a wuss and couldn't have the first ball. Second thing, we played the second test against New Zealand at Hobart Belrive Oval. I was on 66 and Haydos was on 3 in a test match. Tell me who the aggressor is. Yeah, and the photograph sits there, so it's on the scoreboard, and I always point to it that Haydos was the joke and that, you know, meant to be the one day 2020 special. That's 66-3. Now let the listeners out there work out where we're at about all this.
Well, you ended up a slogger, Alfie. Did you two ever have any runouts? Because Alfie, you were involved in a few runouts. Did you ever run Haydos out or vice versa?
No, we had one. Actually, no, you wouldn't believe it. I got run out at Lords, my only test match at Lords I got run out, and Swanee's best mate, KP, ran me out, so there's a miracle in
that. That is
the unluckiest man in the world.
But the only other time I was run out, we were playing in Dubai, it was 44 degrees, Haydos lobbed one back, caught and bowled.
Oh, this was, sorry,
Alfie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you cannot, it's impossible to drop the catch. My daughter wouldn't have taken it. Anyway, so I just back up thinking, oh, there's Haydos. Anyway, Canaria drops it and it rolls onto my stumps and I was run out.
Oh, you're kidding.
What about when you got run out in Zimbabwe and we were batting together? Geez, you were dirty.
Well, there is a joke.
How slow were you, Alfie?
What was his name? Malonga.
Oh, how quick was he? Yeah, he was a...
Like, he's Usain Bolt in the field and Junior just clipped it down to deep backwards squarely. Easy too, Alfie. So I just...
No, you clipped it, didn't you? And I said easy too.
Oh, mate, that's right. I clipped it. You said easy too, Alfie. So I'm going.
Well, you're allowed to have a look when you get to the other end.
Well, I'm just listening.
And just run off like a startled gazelle. Have a look.
Respect for him more. So I'm up and at it. And I was run out by about, I swear to God, I was run out by 6 metres.
You were slipping on bananas, Alfie. You were slipping on bananas.
The problem is, Junior, I was averaging about 10 in the series before, so I'm about to cash in and keep my spot in the team, and you've run me out, you know.
Mate, I was just testing your character, Alfie. I had to test your character. You come through all right there, buddy.
You're testing a few characters as a selection.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, Alf.
Oh, wow. Justin Langer, mate, plenty of history. You guys could go on all day.
He's a black belt in karate, aren't you, Alfie?
Yeah, he'd open a can of whip ass onto you.
You don't give Alfie cheek.
One of the first things Haydos ever said when we played against Middlesex and Justin Langer's at point, and you used to look up, you tap your bat and look up, and there'd be these eyeballs staring at you, picking a fight with you. I remember saying to Haydos, I said, he's your mate. What's the matter with him? He goes, oh, mate. Black belt in karate, he'll kill ya. I remember going for him, I'm going to rip into him, thinking, oh, say what you want, mate, I don't care.
We had to hold him back a few times with the local fans on different tours, I must admit.
Justin, I don't know, karate might be a link to this question. For Flight Centre, be prepared and book early at flightcentre.com.au. It's all about preparation. Your quirky preparation habit, was it perhaps some form of martial art? How did you prepare before beginnings?
I'm a pretty serious sort of character, so I had to dance. I had to put my music in, and I still was either Lose Yourself, Eminem, or She'll Be Love, Maroon 5.
No shirt on, ever, as well.
Yeah, shirt off. You know,
no Jay Williamson to fire you up.
No, Johnny Williamson after. Johnny Williamson, K-San after. Just to, my daughters have just heard me say that, and they cannot believe they're that embarrassed. I said those two songs, but two great songs. It was usually a bit of dancing before the game just to loosen up and put a smile on my face.
Guys, he said Eminem Lose Yourself, which I can understand, but can we just have a quick listen to Maroon 5, She Will Be Loved, for a minute? Can you believe this song would fire him up? She will
be loved. Oh, I don't know. I had a tear.
I've never heard of it.
I can imagine Justin Langer and Matt Hayden dancing through a change room to that. Before they go out to bat.
They give himself a cuddle and a kiss before they go out.
Hey, thanks for your time, Justin. Great to have you on the line. So much history with Haydos and the boys. We appreciate you chatting with us on Willow Talk.
Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot.
Good on you, Alfie.
Thanks, Alfie.
See you, boys.
And coming up, I know we've had a number of personalities on our show. Swanee's Wrongin' is where Swanee impersonates other cricketers. It's quite something. I know I've had Jeffrey Boycott in the past. Is Jeffrey just there for 1 second?
He is, actually. He's just bopped in the studio. He's very angry about England's batting at Lord's and Australia's in the first innings at Edgbaston, and they're a joke.
Okay.
International cricketers, disgusting.
Okay. All right, so who will he be this week? We will find out next on Willow Talk. You're listening to Willow Talk with Matthew Hayden, Mark Waugh and Graham Swan. It's Byron over here. It is time for Swanee's Wrongin'. Here's Wrongin'. Well, we actually expect the Wrongin' now. Every week, he delivers a great impersonation of another cricketer. In the past, we've spoken to Kevin Peterson. Who could forget that? Jeffrey Boycott. I wonder, Haydos and Junior, as you try and guess who this is, who is our mystery guest this week as Swanee steps out of the studio?
Yeah, I'm just going to pop outside and see if he's waiting outside. Oh, here he is. Good morning, gentlemen.
He's obviously from the West
Indies.
Sounds
like a Caribbean.
Good morning.
A good early start. I thought you might see Bangladesh or something, so my accent isn't too bad, obviously.
It's very cool. Very cool, man.
Yeah, he's cool. He's cool. Haydos, you got anything?
Yeah, well, is he from Jamaica?
If I'm perfectly honest, no, I'm not from Jamaica. I'm a country that has much more fast bowling pedigree.
Well, I was going to say, you would have been a fast bowler.
Of course. Bone wheels at you, Mark War, if I'd ever played against you, but I can't remember ever playing against you.
So he's a bit older, too. Oh, okay. He didn't, if that's possible. He didn't play you.
No, he must be at least 55, 60.
Did you have a nickname?
I did have a nickname. Something about how loud I was when I ran up to ball.
There we go.
That's a hot question.
He's still involved in the game, I reckon, in some form.
Yes.
This fella.
Are you a commentator?
That's right.
I reckon you like a punt on the horses too. He loves the horses.
That's why I like Mark Waugh.
He loves the horses. He loves the horses.
Would you like a day at the races with Mark Waugh potentially?
I reckon he would. Next time he's in Sydney, I'm going to take him out to Royal Randwick.
Could you say whatever your name is that hits him sweet like a lady, but he ain't got no brains? Can you say that?
You hit them sweet like a lady, but he ain't got no brains.
Yeah, that's June, definitely.
You love that.
I do love that, yeah.
Mark Waugh hit them sweet like a lady, but he ain't got no brains.
That's why I'm a national selector hater, so I've got no brains.
Not at the moment, anyway. I reckon you're Michael Holding. That's what I reckon.
Yeah.
Whispering
that's
death.
Right. Yay! That's right.
And now let's just, you know, we like to cross-reference things. We like to just make sure. Let's have a listen to the real-life whispering death, Michael Holding.
I just don't understand what's happening with West Indies cricket these days. Chris Gayle wants to go to the IPL, and it's a big problem.
Very good. Very good.
I'm not happy with that one. I'm not happy. I thought he was a good guess, but he obviously had a bad head cold. Nah, not my best, that one. I realised once I'd started, I didn't actually know that much about Mikey Holding.
Matthew Holding, you
mean? When I was looking, thinking, well, did he ever play against Haydos?
No, I never. Actually, played him in county cricket only.
Yeah. He's the nicest man in the world.
We will come back because we've got to get your Ashes moments on the air in a second.
Okay.
Have you got yours ready, Junior?
I'll do something.
You guys all play plenty of Ashes cricket. All three of you will share another Ashes moment next on Willow Talk. You're listening to Willow Talk, Matthew Hayden, Graham Swan and Mark Waugh. Byron over here, boys. Before we wrap up this week, let's get some Ashes moments from you guys. We're in the middle of this series. It's all happening. Let's start with Haydos today.
Oh, straight off the bat. Okay, no worries. Well, look, I want to take us back to 2001, Test match v England. And we were going through a bit of a hard trot. I wasn't in particularly great form in that series. I'd struggled a little bit, made some runs in Melbourne, which was good to get me back on track. But Sydney, I've always thought, June, Sydney is probably the toughest crowd that a Queenslander could come across. You had to be
fair enough too. I mean, we've got State of Origin rugby league.
You had to be as hard as a cat's head to get through the Sydney crowd. but I remember feeling
up.
Yeah, I remember feeling out in the outfield, sweeping on that deep square leg boundary, and that was right in front of the Barmy Army. Now the Barmy Army, Swanee, they used to give all Australians a hard time, and they used to sing away. Is there anything that they're actually singing at the moment?
They had this new brilliant one at Cardiff. Obviously, Shane Watson had his LBW problems before in that first innings. And when he came out to field before the second innings, the Barmy Army had come up with this song to the tune of, I love you, baby. It went, LB, LB, LBW, LB, LB. We love Shane Watson. It was magical. And of all the Aussie players who get stick from the Barmy Army, the main ones, Justin Langer, when he used to play, he was brilliant. They always used to sing, hi-ho, hi-ho, hi-ho. And he'd take, I always remember him kneeling on the floor and pretending to walk. He was brilliant. Mitchell Johnson tries to play back at him. Shane Watson didn't know what to do. He looked around, he wanted to kill somebody. It was magnificent.
Well, I think you're probably divided, right? So, you know, you either react to him or you don't. And I was that sort of personality that didn't react. And so there was this one goon that was right up the back of the stand. And he kept on saying, hey, Hayden! Trying to distract, you know, me and whatever. And I just gave him donuts. That was my strategy. And it was just after the time, actually, that I'd released my second cookbook. And I'm thinking, oh, this is unusual timing for all this sort of stuff to happen. But keeps on going, hey, Hayden, hey, Hayden, hey, Hayden. And finally, I sort of turn around. And as soon as you actually turn around, June, and give someone the crowd anything at all, just any eye contact, you're absolutely gone.
You're gone.
So this bloke, he yells out, Hayden! Your chicken casserole. I thought, that is weird, really weird.
That was a funny English accent too, just quietly.
Your chicken casserole tastes like
Oh, if I was in the crowd, I would have paid that. I would have been on Team England just briefly.
That couldn't do anything else but laugh. Was classic.
And Junior, yours deals with the theme, I guess.
Nothing to do with cooking, because I cannot cook.
Right,
at all.
No cookbooks from Junior.
Barbecue.
But we did have Justin Langer on earlier. But yours deals with the topic of left-hand opening batsmen.
Well, I'm going with left-hand opening batsmen. We've got Haydos and Langsby on the show. So I'm going to go with Matthew Elliott. Now, I nearly ended his career, actually. This is not an Ashes moment, but just a little side spin here in Sydney. Remember when we ran into each other?
Yeah.
And we were both in the middle of the pitch. And actually, Carl Hooper fielded the ball. No, they threw it to Carl Hooper. And, well, Matthew Elliott would have been out by half the pitch if they just whipped the bales off. This is how bad I must have been batting. Carl Hooper, you know, threw it to my end and tried to run me out. We've actually both made it, but
to the same end, yeah.
Yeah, but I cleaned him up, Matthew Elliott, but my Ashes moment has nothing to do with that. But it's he's 199 at Headingley in the Test match in 1997. Brilliant. He was a brilliant player, Matthew Elliott.
He was very good.
And that 199, obviously very cruel that he got 199 to Steve Smith. got 199 just recently as well. But he was a fantastic player, and that was just a memory of these left-hand opening batsmen. So Matthew Elliott, 199.
Beautiful.
You were a bit of a renowned ball watcher though, Gene, weren't you?
A ball watcher?
Yeah, I mean, how do you...
Well, what are you supposed to do when someone hits it? What do you do? Look at the crowd. You don't look at the ball, where it goes?
Well, mate, how do you run into Matthew Elliott? He's 6'3".
What, you don't look at the ball?
Well,
I would have thought you do look at the ball.
Mate, you're allowed to look at the player that's coming at you. That's why you don't run into them and hurt them and just about wreck their career.
You've got to have some idea when the ball's coming in, just in case you might get run out. So I think you do have to look at the ball to some degree. But
Swanee, should we let these two argue after the show?
Swanee, did you look at the ball?
I'll tell you what, just on about Matty Elliott then. I remember the first time I played against him, Matthew Hayden was our captain at Glamorgan. And as I don't know if there was a bit of beef between these two, because, you know, left-handed...
Bit of jealousy.
...vying for the same spot in the Aussie team.
Same spot.
But anyway,
competition
we went for breakfast, me and Haydos in Cardiff. We were just walking in into the pavilion and Matty Elliott was coming out. And do you remember he had that terrible beard... Just that rat's tail, that tickler on his on his chin. On his big Jimmy Hill chin. And as he walked past...
you couldn't miss it, could you? It was quite a large chin.
Haydos just got some pre-game chirping in. He went, "Morning, Matty, what's for breakfast?" "Rats." And walked past him. Just Matt Elliott with this face of absolute shock going, "Okay, f*** yourself, Haydos." Okay.
Lucky we can bleep stuff here on
yourself.
Willow Talk. It's all happening. Guys, that's it. Before they drag us off, we are done. Big thanks to our guests.
Did we get Swanee
was in there.
Was he?
Swanee chipped in.
Yeah,
Hayden
I got
story.
Stuff in about Alfie Langren. Yeah, yeah.
Your story went long as a Matthew Hayden story normally does, Junior, so we ran out of time.
Similar punchline as well.
Mark's Ashes moment was a match against the West Indies, so, you know. Anyway, we're done for today. Thanks so much as well to Glenn McGrath for joining us.
Yeah, how good was Pigeon?
Fantastic.
Enough
stuff.
He is.
And
enough.
Willow Talk is back the same time next week right here with Junior, Haydos and Swanee.